Welcome to this episode of Observations for Our Time. We have Kirk and Scott here with us. And before we recommence in the 91st Psalm, the American political landscape has become so entertaining. How about that for a euphemism?
Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ridiculous. That I thought we might discuss that day. But I want to share with you kind of my overall take on it. Then let's get to a few of the issues. I think that on the Democratic side, I am flabbergasted, literally flabbergasted, that a communist, and make no mistake, Bernie Sanders is a communist. Mm-hmm. You know, his entire mindset is to foist communism on an unsuspecting, unwary America by cloaking it in this nebulous concept of democratic socialism. Now, keep in mind, the Soviet Union was a socialist republic. The Nazi Party was a socialist party. And to unite with liberals so as to become entrenched and then to create his socialist/communist state. And the fact that we have dumbed down a generation of young people through our educational system, our indoctrination system, that they would support this man, not recognizing that no communist society has ever succeeded, and that redistribution of wealth does not create wealth. In fact, it creates universal poverty.
Except for a select few.
How in the world could we have a country where this man is actually winning state after state? The last two states that were in the Democratic primary process, he won by a landslide. God, this is not an America that I want to live in.
Well, you can buy anything if you can. Well, let me put it this way: you can sell anything if you give it away.
And yeah, if Bernie Sanders had actually worked at a job, if he'd actually done something in his life productive, which he's never done, and if he had through his abilities created tremendous wealth, and he wanted to give that wealth away. That's his business.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to give his wealth away because he doesn't have any. What he wants to do is he's creating class warfare to take what productive people have made. And instead of trying to make more people productive, he simply wants to rob those who have been productive to bribe the votes of those who are dependent.
Well, and he's doing it on the backs of people that are the same as him. They've never had anything. They've never had to pay a tax in their life. They've never had to anything.
But it's amazing that we can have a society that is so prone to class warfare, so receptive to class warfare, and so ignorant of economics and how economics works.
And it's not, you know, everybody, obviously, if you have a job, you pay some sort of income tax. But that's not a tax. It's when you have to pay a property tax. I have to pay a property tax every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so I can live in a place that I already own.
Yeah, you think you own it, but the government will take it from you if you don't pay them mm-hmm. a percentage of the value of that property every year. And, you know, in my case, I've got a second home in Ohio just so we can enjoy being part of our extended family and our granddaughter. And in doing so, I'm paying $24,000 in school support.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anybody in school.
What? You don't?
No. In fact, even when I had children of school age, I sent them to private school because I tried the public school and they were hellaciously bad.
And they didn't give you a tax credit for that either.
No. No, it's just thievery. It's absolutely repulsive. You know, when I actually asked one time for the help of the police during a period of time when I was just getting inundated with the death threats, and they were all specific. You know, we know where you live. We're coming after you. We're going to kill you. We're going to kill your family. Now, yes, I had, with support, but I figured that prudent thing to do is at least to notify the authorities that I was getting these and pass them on to them. And
you know what? Serious if you had to call them. Sure.
You know what I got from them? That's your problem.
Really?
No, absolutely. We're not going to do a thing. What am I paying my taxes for?
but there's
serve and protect, right?
Here's a big problem. You're talking about why Bernie's so popular. Look who he's running against.
Oh, well, that's the next point I was going to. Yeah, the Hillary Rotten Clinton, who was instrumental in lying about Benghazi. And I have an issue with Benghazi because of anything other than she absolutely, unequivocally knew that it was Ansar Sharia that perpetrated the attack and that it had absolutely nothing to do with the trailer for the Christian movie. And yet she edited deliberately a dozen CIA and State Department transcripts from the scene that said it was being perpetrated by the terrorist group, Friends of Sharia, Ansar Sharia, and instead blamed it on the movie because what she wanted to do was to create the myth that extremists were the problem, not Muslims. And to do that, while the nation is engaged in countless wars in Islamic countries, I think is absolute treason.
I created something for another show, but I want to share it here with you. I think you guys will like this. This is from a speech that Hillary made earlier this week on a show. She said a certain word so many times. Here's the clip. Hold on.
Transparency. I think the answer is transparency, that there will be complete transparency. An answer for that is what we have been doing for the last several years, and that is to be transparent about it.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Yeah, anytime a politician like Hillary Clinton uses a word, what she means is the antithesis. It's that I'm not going to be transparent.
No, it's the same as somebody tells you, trust me. Trust me.
Yeah. Well, I'm making this point perfectly clear. That means it's murky as is filth.
Well, just trust me. Just trust me, right? I must be doing best for you, right?
Wow.
Let me suggest something, going back to Bernie for one quick second. Suggest something that most people don't realize. When they talk about soaking the rich, you know, to pay for the poor and all that, mm-hmm. the poor are a small group. The really, really rich are a very tiny group. Most of us that live in there that suffer through try to get a business. I failed in business 3 times before I finally was able to put it together. All at my own expense, you know, and it was costly.
Mm-hmm.
As learning experience, I didn't want to learn that well, but we finally made one that was successful, and it didn't make us super rich, but it did very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And we were paying at least 50% of every dollar that came in. You know, after you paid your overhead, then you get about 50% of everything we took home was gone.
Oh, yeah.
And then you
paid your
tax
your sales Social tax Security on behalf of your employees.
Yeah, 15%. Yeah.
Yeah, you're paying for their health care. You're collecting tax on behalf of the government. You're forced into servitude in that regard. You're paying fees and property taxes and business taxes and then income taxes. It just goes on and on.
Yeah.
State taxes and federal taxes. And, you know, they're all complaining that countries are going overseas, that American companies are leaving America and going to headquarters in other countries. That's the reason we have the highest taxes in the industrialized world on corporations. The very people who create jobs, who build things and can employ people, we are taxing into oblivion so they can't compete anymore in America. You know, if you want more of something, tax it less. If you want less of something, tax it more. You know, now then you go to the Republican side. Oh, good grief. I mean, if there is a bigger lying scoundrel than Ted Cruz, I have yet to meet them. You know, personal stories. I think I shared this vignette of how the gentleman that has handled the various speaking engagements that I've done on behalf of Tea with Terrorists and Prophet of Doom. He is the largest in the world at what he does. He was engaged by Ted Cruz at a convention to get him on to some talk shows. There's a very standard rate for those shows. He was told what the rates were. He was booked on those shows. He went on those shows. And then when my friend presented him with the bill, he said, we had an oral agreement. And because it was only an oral agreement, I'm not going to honor it. You can stuff your bill.
He's got more in common with Bernie than I thought.
Oh, my goodness. What a, I mean, there's a reason that before Trump became so popular, and we'll talk about him in a moment, most everyone in the Republican establishment came out and said anybody but Cruz. I mean, from the state governors to senators to Washingtonians alike in the Republican Party, the higher-ups knew that Ted Cruz was a lying scumbag. And they almost universally said anyone but Cruz. Now when their choice is Cruz or Trump, they'd rather have a lying scumbag than they would somebody that they can't control.
Well, Senator Graham said that you could kill Ted Cruz on the floor of the Senate and then hold the trial in the Senate, and you couldn't convict him.
Yeah, you couldn't convict the murderer. Yeah.
You couldn't convict the murderer.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone who's had contact with Ted Cruz knows that he is a standard evangelical Christian, a man that you couldn't trust as far as you could throw him. They're hypocrites, and he's the worst of a bad lot.
An evangelical.
Now, there was reason, despite some of his rhetoric, to show some enthusiasm for Trump. And that Trump was a way to show the Republican Party that they had become complete hypocrites, and that the party itself was disgusting. That the party itself had no scruples, and that it had lost touch with what its members wanted. And with every vote, and every time they try to circumvent the people's will, they're demonstrating that. So, to one extent, that's positive. And to the extent that he is vehemently anti-politically correct, that's a positive. The fact that he says, we got a problem with Islam, that's a positive. But, oh my goodness, some of the other stuff he says...
Well, for every one step forward, he takes like another one back.
Oh, he does. Yeah, the one this week, one is that if a law passes that somehow criminalizes abortion, that he would punish women who have abortions. I mean, you don't say that. I mean, none of us are pro-abortion. I think a woman ought to have pro-choice, and I am pro-life. You know, both positions are embraceable. Yeah. And there is nothing the president is going to do to change Roe v. Wade. There is no scenario that you would get justices appointed to the Supreme Court and confirmed that are going to, in number sufficient, to overturn Roe v. Wade. It isn't going to happen. And so, if you were asked a question about abortion, then you would simply say, either it's a state's right issue and not a presidential issue, or, you know, it's a Supreme Court decision, not a presidential decision, so why should we talk about hypotheticals?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you could say something like, I believe in liberty and women should have be free to choose, and I am pro-life. And that, you know, abortion as a form of birth control is a horrible idea.
Well, and that's always been my stance, too. Who am I to tell anybody what they can and can't do? You can make any choice you want to do. It doesn't mean that I have to.
Up to the point of murder. And so you have to define what is murder. Because we can't say it's okay for you to murder. And so is a first trimester infant, when it's aborted, is that murder? Probably not, because that infant is not viable outside the mother.
For me, it always comes down to why are you getting it?
Yeah, third trimester, different story. Third trimester, the fetus is absolutely viable, and so you're killing a child that can live outside of the womb.
Yeah, and for me, it's always been a very cut and dry thing. Why are you getting it? Well, I was raped. Okay, then yes. Okay.
Yeah, I got no problem with that.
You get that.
I don't want it done in the third trimester, even under those circumstances.
No, definitely not. But I'm getting an abortion because I'm pregnant and I don't want the baby.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I can't be bothered. But you know, if you were to make abortion illegal, first of all, there would still be countless abortions.
Well, drugs are illegal.
Drugs are illegal, and they're used by a huge percentage of the country.
Even the people that made them illegal.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Let's just say that you did diminish abortions. You know, the majority of people that are having abortions aren't in a position to raise a child. Then what are you going to do? You're going to make them war to the states? Are you going to create factories for raising children? You're going to let our government try to raise children? What are you going to do?
Well, before we do that, let's define what our government does well.
Nothing.
I'm still looking for it.
Nothing. We don't even run our military well.
No. We use it as a
blunt instrument to make bad situations worse.
We call our military peacekeeping.
Oh yeah.
What?
Where do they keep the peace?
Apparently we have these bombs that you can drop on places, and then it blows up only the thing it wants to blow up, and then it rebuilds everything around it. Right? That must be it, right?
Yeah. You know, the other thing that Trump said it was yesterday, that the problem with our military is the Geneva Convention. Now, the Geneva Convention just says, listen, war is probably a bad thing, but if you're going to engage in war, you can't torture your enemy. You can't subject your enemy to, you know, cruel and unusual treatment. You've got to feed them. You've got to shelter them if they're captives. If somebody is surrendering, you can't go and blow their brains out once they've surrendered. Then you're responsible for treating them as prisoners of war, and here are the rules. It talks about civilian casualties and trying to mitigate civilian casualties. If you are opposed to the Geneva Convention, you think your military will be more effective without it. There's something deeply troubled by such a mindset.
Why don't we just become Sparta?
Oh yeah, really?
Why don't we just become Sparta at that point?
Sure. Yeah, the world's longest serving democracy. No country on earth was a democracy longer than Sparta. And it was the most ruthless, savage country maybe to ever exist.
And what they do with
women had no rights whatsoever. Boys were taken at youth and beaten and tormented and abused so as to make them weapons of war. And all of their neighbors were enslaved because the Spartans were too busy either making warriors or fighting wars to produce food.
Mm-hmm. All true.
Yeah. So why don't we just become that?
Oh, gosh. So who are
we? Working at it.
So if you really, you know, I understand that most Americans, not all, but a significant number of Americans, I can't even say most, but a very significant number of Americans have gotten to the point that they vote now for the lesser of multiple evils. Who is the lesser of evils this time around?
Well, I got the answer for you. I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it.
Oh,
I'm walking away.
Man.
I refuse to put my name behind any of those people.
America considers itself great. In fact, America considers itself exceptional. And this is the best foursome we can put up on the first tee. I wouldn't play with any of these guys, even if they owned the golf course.
One does.
And one does. Yeah, maybe if it was Augusta National, I'd hold my nose.
As scumbags as they are, I'd still play with you if you invited me.
But if it was Augusta National, maybe I would.
Well,
or Cypress Point. Okay, so I'm a hypocrite.
Well, you guys can answer this. Our name's important.
We don't have to go in the clubhouse.
Okay.
Our name's important?
Last time I checked, yes.
Names are extremely important.
Yeah.
So if you decide to vote, that's you putting your name
behind
one of these people.
That's right. I'm not going to do it.
None of these people are anybody that represents anything I believe.
No. When he first came out neutral on the Israeli-Palestinian crisis, which is like being neutral in a rape between the perpetrator and the victim, I just wanted to puke. Now, he has subsequently reversed course on that. And then when he said, you know, the first one was Mexicans are sending us their rapists, you know, I lived in Southern California. I have a son in Texas. I've spent much of my life surrounded by Mexican Americans. Some of my closest friends are Mexican Americans. And you know something? One of the things that I found is that in terms of character and work ethic and devotion to family and this sort of thing, they're superior in character and attitude in that regard to most other people I've met.
Yeah.
I would not.
People I've seen.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a simple solution to immigration. You know, you're not going to send 20 to 40 million people back across the border. First of all, it would be impossible. And second, you'd become a merciless laughingstock amongst nations for even attempting to do it. But if you were to say, all right, I'll tell you what we're going to do this time. We can't encourage more of this by simply granting citizenship.
Blanket citizenship.
Yeah, and allow all these people to instantly receive Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and welfare and food stamps and all that kind of stuff. So we'll just have, and we can't change the nation in terms of its voting that dramatically. So why don't we do this? Why don't we have a 10-year, 15, 20-year plan where if you continue to work, you pay your taxes, you pay your fair share, you're part of the society, that over a 20-year period you can earn your citizenship and earn all the benefits and rights of citizenship. But between now and then, you don't get any of the freebies. How tough would that be?
It's just about the only practical solution.
And you know what they would do? They'd gladly do that.
Of course.
They'd gladly do that.
Yeah, a path to earn the benefits and rights. Now, the fact is that 20 years from now, there's not going to be an America. But you know that. We know that.
Yeah, they don't. No, rest of the world didn't.
They don't.
So you're saying right now is the time to get the house loan?
Yeah. And how many times have you heard these buffoons talk about the fact that our national debt in interest-bearing debt is quickly rising now to $20 trillion, and our unfunded mandates now are scaring $100 trillion. And who's talking about our debt?
Nobody.
Nobody.
I found that terribly interesting, the little I've been paying attention. They just don't. Nobody wants to go to there.
You know, I read an article the other day that Obama's new budget actually cuts the deficit. Reduces the deficit. And so rather than taking the deficit down from what is now $19 trillion down to, what, $15 trillion, that would be reducing it, right? Mm-hmm. Having some budget surpluses that reduce it? No. He's reducing it because his original budget for the next 10 years would increase the debt from $20 trillion to $30 trillion. But he has a provision to raise taxes on the most productive that will only raise it $6 trillion to $26 trillion. So the difference between $30 trillion and $26 trillion, that's a reduction.
Yeah. Well, I
don't think that's how numbers
work. You know, the central bank, they keep postponing raising the interest rate when they need to raise the interest rate, but they have to realize, everybody realizes, that if they raise the interest rate, then the interest on the debt will absolutely escalate.
That's right.
This thing.
That's right, yeah. The interest on the debt is...
But they don't address that. Right. This is the real reason, guys.
Right, but, you know, understand that one of the reasons they don't have to raise the interest rate is because in the past, we solicited countries and large wealthy individuals to loan us money. And for them to loan us money so that we didn't go bankrupt, we had to pay them a fair interest rate. But China and Japan and Saudi Arabia and wealthy individuals and countries don't want to loan us any money, not at any interest rate. What we did is we came up with what's called quantitative easing. Quantitative easing is that the Fed loans America the money, but it doesn't provide the money. It's not money that has been earned and saved and is now being loaned in the typical sense. It's money that they create by diluting the value of existing money. And so, and since they're now charging interest on something that never existed, even a 0.2% earnings on that which never existed is a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
You know, for example, if I told you, Kirk, that I would pay you 0.2% on $1 trillion that you didn't provide, but I'd give you the interest anyway. You'd have to say that's a pretty fair deal.
You're my best friend.
But if I said, Kirk, I want you to loan me $100,000, and I'm going to pay you 2%, 0.2% interest on that $100,000, and I may or may not pay you back, you might walk away from that deal.
Yeah.
Well, that's the quantitative easing. That's what we have done to create the illusion that America is still solvent.
Now, interestingly, this week I watched a thing on Frontline, and it was a covert photographing and reporting of Saudi Arabia. They suggested, they said that Saudi Arabia, because of the cost of oil going so down so far,
right,
they're not able to
correct
provide any money for the things that they've been holding off people from rioting.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have it, and they estimate in 5 years all of their reserves, every drop,
right,
other than what they've salted away from themselves and overseas banks, but everything in their so-called budget, it will be gone within 5 years.
Yeah, that's why what Saudi Arabia has done is that the royal family, to continue to have the population support them having what is essentially a personal estate. Now, Saudi Arabia is the personal estate of the Saud family.
Right.
It was given to them by the British because the Saud family, in concert with Wahhab, fundamentalist Muslim cleric, fought the Ottoman Turks with British weapons. And so they rewarded them with their own personal estate, fiefdom called Saudi Arabia. And to keep the population from revolting, because they are a revolting family, they paid them just got awful amounts of money not to work. So the citizens of Saudi Arabia are paid hundreds of thousands of dollars a year not to work. No one works in Saudi Arabia. That's why they have to bring in
so many
slaves, and the people they bring in are mistreated slaves. Mm-hmm. And so because of the fact that the price of oil has fallen by two-thirds, they are now giving out far more money than they're taking in. And so the bribe system is beginning to fall apart. And when that happens, the power in Saudi Arabia will no longer be the bribe, but the religion. And so there will be a revolt in Saudi Arabia, and the fundamentalist Sunni Muslim jihadists will take over the country. Now, what the older Sauds don't care, because these are all the many sons of the original Saud that leagued with Wahhab to take on the Turks. They're all old. They're all old. They're dying. And so the only Saud now that matters is the son of the present king. And in his case, he's spending the country's money on weapons. What he's doing is he's trying to build such a substantial military that the people of Saudi Arabia will not be able to revolt against their government. It's the same condition that exists in America. You can't fight City Hall because City Hall is armed to the teeth.
Well, they are revolting now. That was what the show was doing. There was about five people that were taking pictures of everything and reporting, and four of them had to quit because they were being hauled off. And the last one, he said, "This is it. This is my last report because they're going to get me." So,
Oh yeah.
Absolutely, and not afraid to get out.
Right. And somebody that criticizes the Sauds or Islam in Saudi Arabia
will be given
100 lashes, and will either die from those lashes or will be spend eternity in the most hellish prison you could possibly imagine. So is the state of the world.
Yeah.
Methinks that these are the dark ages that Yahweh talked about. You know, that first statement of the 91st Psalm, God began by specifically saying that he was going to protect us through these dark hours. And, in fact, I just want to clarify something, because I did receive a note from a very good friend yesterday on this. When I considered why it was through the darkness of night, that the protection was going to endure through the darkness of night, there were a considerable number of ideas that release were open to consideration.